Time now for another Charles Dickens novel, the eighth novel so far in our year-long monthly celebration of Dickens' bicentenary. Up for discussion today, A Tale of Two Cities, a tale of revolution, political unrest, murder and mayhem. Could you ask for more? And as usual, I'm joined in studio by Kathy Belton, Barry Barnes and Niall McMonagall. Niall, among Dickens' work, Tale of Two Cities is unusual. It's an historical novel.
Yes, I mean, Dickens did write two historical novels, the other being Barnaby Rudge, and Barnaby Rudge is one of his least read, least successful, least popular. But in the 19th century, the historical novel was really popular, so Dickens had a go. And it was a fashion set in motion by Sir Walter Scott, but who reads Scott now? I think historical novels tend to fall out of favour with the reading public in the main.
But not A Tale of Two Cities.
No, not at all. I mean, this novel is about a sensational event, the execution of Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette in 1793. He was 39, she was 38, and their execution ended 1,025 years of monarchy. So there's a story. But the king and queen hardly figure, in fact, in Dickens. A Tale of Two Cities is still read today because it's the human interest story that really captivates the reader, and it's ordinary people, and there is a corrupt aristocracy, and that overshadows the entire novel, which is another dimension.
Is it one of Dickens's most popular?
Oh yes, and best, I think. It has sold over 200 million copies, Miles, which means that in the 153 years that it's been around, it has averaged well over a million copies a year. In America, it's Dickens's bestseller, and it was published in 1859 when Dickens was 47, and the opening chapters focus on 1775, so Dickens goes back 85 years for his subject matter, and it covers the years leading up to and during the French Revolution, when France really discovered people power. And maybe that's why Americans love it. I mean, it's up the revolution book. And that said, you know, Dickens never suggests that England should rid itself of its monarchy.
And of course, it has one of the most famous openings in all of literature.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the opening chapter called The Period is brilliant at giving an overview of the uncertainty of the age.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
And then there follows this passage filled with opposites, where Dickens very economically paints a huge canvas of activity and situation.
It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness.
It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity.
It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair.
Segment 1. Time now for another Charles Dickens novel, the eighth novel so far in our year-long monthly celebration of Dickens' bicentenary. Up for discussion today, A Tale of Two Cities, a tale of revolution, political unrest, murder and mayhem. Could you ask for more? And as usual, I'm joined in studio by Kathy Belton, Barry Barnes and Niall McMonagall. Niall, among Dickens' work, Tale of Two Cities is unusual. It's an historical novel.
Yes, I mean, Dickens did write two historical novels, the other being Barnaby Rudge, and Barnaby Rudge is one of his least read, least successful, least popular. But in the 19th century, the historical novel was really popular, so Dickens had a go.
Segment 2.
And it was a fashion set in motion by Sir Walter Scott, but who reads Scott now? I think historical novels tend to fall out of favour with the reading public in the main.
But not A Tale of Two Cities.
No, not at all. I mean, this novel is about a sensational event, the execution of Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette in 1793. He was 39, she was 38, and their execution ended 1,025 years of monarchy, so there's a story. But the king and queen hardly figure, in fact, in Dickens. A Tale of Two Cities is still read today because it's the human interest story that really captivates the reader, and it's ordinary people, and there is a corrupt aristocracy, and that overshadows the entire novel, which is another dimension.
Segment 3. Is it one of Dickens's most popular?
Oh yes, and best, I think. It has sold over 200 million copies, Miles, which means that in the 153 years that it's been around, it has averaged well over a million copies a year. In America, it's Dickens's bestseller, and it was published in 1859 when Dickens was 47, and the opening chapters focus on 1775, so Dickens goes back 85 years for his subject matter, and it covers the years leading up to and during the French Revolution, when France really discovered people power. And maybe that's why Americans love it. I mean, it's up the revolution book. And that said, you know, Dickens never suggests that England should rid itself of its monarchy.
Segment 4.
And, of course, it has one of the most famous openings in all of literature.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the opening chapter called The Period is brilliant at giving an overview of the uncertainty of the age.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
And then there follows this passage filled with opposites, where Dickens very economically paints a huge canvas of activity and situation.
It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness.
It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity.
It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair.